Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Come on, Faith Church, give it up for Jesus today. Come on, you can do better than that. Do you love him? Come on, this is Thanksgiving week. Let's be thankful for Jesus and everything he did for us. It's so good to us. You can sit down, tell your neighbor, say, hashtag blessed, you got to sit by me today. I know you're blessed, right? You're blessed to be a blessing. You know, before I get started, I just want to say, I love our church so much. When I'm just around town, and well, I think Friday night we went to some people called the Mother Models. Like, they discovered, Ashton Kutcher and you name it, like Heidi Klum, all these different models. And I was there with my daughter, Ashton, and just seeing our church, how we're in all these different industries. People are far from Jesus, and they've got big shirts that say 1 Corinthians 13. In fact, I just saw one of the models there. Stand up real quick, the twin. There's this model. She was there. I saw her there, a supermodel. Come on, give it up for all of our team. I mean, we got people in Hollywood. We got people making movies. We got people this weekend. They're in Florida. I forget the guy's name. Anquan Boldin. That's right. Has anybody ever heard of that guy? Anquan Boldin, a very famous football player. He's always at RPC. And our connection with them, every week they're there, and we connect with them in such a big way. And so this weekend, I don't know, thousands of people. In fact, ESPN was there. We got so many turkeys, they showed up. So give it up for Anquan and his family. And we just got a great church. I'm just grateful. I can't believe I get to do it. Wow, I'm a homeschooler. That was supposed to make you laugh. Hashtag blessed. Today we're going to talk about being blessed to be a blessing, and it's so important that you realize this, that God has blessed you in spite of everything that's happening around you. In fact, if you travel the world, as you saw in that video a moment ago, you travel in different parts of the world, you find out that there's a lot of people who would love to switch places with you. They would love to wake up with 19 million pillows on the bed. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. Like, there's no room for me, Nicole. She's like, no, this is the way it looks. They would love to have indoor plumbing like you do. When I go to some of these third world countries and I see these people eating dirt, it just tears you up. But even here in America, you know, my wife's preaching in California today, and I talked to her a couple days ago, and she was going into 7-Eleven with three of her little girlfriends before the event because she needed a Slurpee. Anybody ever had a Slurpee? Raise your hand. Anybody ever drank it too fast and you got a brain freeze? Right? Come on, raise your hand. Come on, people, you got a brain freeze in here? First of all, how many of y'all got a brain? And so she went in, she said, when I was walking past, she saw a homeless guy dig into the trash can to eat. She walked in, she bought her Slurpee, and she said, do you know that guy? To the workers. And they said, oh yeah, he's always there. His name is Jerry. He's got a name tag on. She said, tell me about Jerry. She said, well, he has a mental illness, and he's just a sweet guy, though, actually. He digs out of that trash can. She said, if he ever had any money, what does he do? She said, well, he comes in here. She said, what does he buy? She said, he buys a pepperoni pizza. She said, I want a pepperoni pizza. They said, well, if you buy this pepperoni pizza, ma'am, you get a Coke. She said, what kind of soda does Jerry typically drink? So when he comes in, he always drinks, I think it was a Dr. Pepper or Coke. She said, I'll take one of those too. And they began to charge Nicole for the stuff, and they said, we're not going to charge you for your Slurpee because we can't believe what you just did. Nobody's ever done that. She walks outside looking like a supermodel herself. Come on, I wouldn't marry anybody else. And she walks outside, and she says, hi, Jerry. The people inside said you like pepperoni pizza and you like Coke. He said, thank you, ma'am. My name's Jerry. And it was then and there this week when she told me the story that I realized that our family is a great family that sees a need and we meet it. You find hungry people and you help them and you feed them. You find naked people and you clothe them. If you will help God help people, you will be ultimately blessed. Somebody ought to give God praise today at every campus. Come on, Weldon. Come on, Ferguson. West Palm. On the moon. Everybody. Everybody shout, I'm blessed. Blessed to be a blessing. I want to go to the scripture in Deuteronomy 28, verse 8, and it says, the Lord, who's going to do this? Not the government, not Joe Biden, not Donald Trump, not your whatever political hero. Y'all looking to the wrong Savior, by the way. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns or in your storehouses, in your checkbook. And I love this part. Everybody read it with me. What's it say? And everything you put your hand to. Read it again. What's it say? And everything. Look at your neighbor and say, you better pray I lay hands on you right now. Everything you put your hand to, God's going to bless. Your business, he's going to bless. Your barns, he's going to bless. Your dog, if it's sick, he's going to bless it. I'm telling you, everything you touch, according to that scripture right there, says everything you touch, God's going to hashtag bless it. I'm here to tell you on this week of Thanksgiving, we are blessed beyond measure. If you realize how good God is to you and how he broke you up this morning and he gave you breath in your lungs. Somebody ought to help me today. And he allowed you to put one foot in front of the other. We serve an incredible God. Everybody shout, wow. Say it backwards. You're smart. What's it say? He said, I will bless everything you put your hand to, and the Lord God will bless you. I love this part. In the land that he's giving you. God's going to give you some land. Apparently. You're going to be a landlord. So I want to switch your thinking over the next couple weeks on this series called Hashtag Bless. Because I'm somewhat concerned for some people. Because they really think that this world regulates what goes on in your life. This world has nothing to do with you. You're not really from here. You're from a kingdom where your father is a king and he's going to meet all your needs. But if you're not cautious, what you do is you begin to walk down the path of fear, not the path of light. The Bible said the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It grows brighter and brighter. So every day Jesus is going, who's going to work for me? Who's going to feed Jerry? Who's going to rescue girls out of sex trafficking? You saw the video this weekend, guys. There's ambulances running around in Haiti because of us. There's hundreds of people in India getting water out of a well that the churches say Faith Church on. And today they had church, and the only way they get the water out of the well is if you go to church. And our church here in St. Louis and Palm Beach made that happen. I'm here to tell you that God is looking around seeing, who can I show myself strong to? Who's going to be an optimist? Come on. Who's going to say God is for me? Who's going to say, you know, the worst is over and the best is yet to come? But I think sometimes we watch too much of the news. Actually, anybody old enough to remember when the news only came on twice a day? Oh, man, 10 o'clock at night and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. And there was no Twitter. There was no Instagram. If you missed it, you missed it. You could not tell what the weather was going to be until you got there, which, by the way, is exactly what the weatherman does. I wish I was a weatherman, because how many of y'all agree with me that, like, they're wrong half the time and still get paid. If you were wrong half the time, you would not get paid. But we watch the news and we start hearing what's happening on in the world, and it brings fear. Fear. You know the acronym. What's it mean? False evidence appearing real. It's not real. Appears real, but it's not real. But then you tend to believe it and you fall into that trail, that groove, that rut that everybody falls into, that if Trump gets it, we're good. If Biden gets it, we're good. If Nancy's in, we're out. If Nancy's in, we're good. And there's just so much political corruption. And now the news is nothing. Entertainment Tonight is nothing. Late night TV is nothing but a political show. I remember when Jay Leno was just funny because he was funny. I remember Dave Letterman. Anybody old enough to remember? It wasn't political, but everything is political. And to me, I want to make sure that our church doesn't fall into this political mess. We're in a world that is deteriorating, and Jesus told us this is going to happen. But we're not here to watch the news. We're here to make news. And the good news is Jesus is coming. I shout it again. Jesus is coming. I'm going to shout it one more time. He's coming to split the eastern sky. He's our Lord and Savior, our soon and coming King. We live in the greatest world that could ever be. We're here to watch this happen. Yeah. Fear. Everybody shout fear. 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 False evidence appearing real. My little daughter, I got some pictures of her when she was little here. Wasn't she cute? She loved every Barbie she ever had. She undressed them immediately. In fact, this weekend, she'll be 20 Monday. I can't believe it. 20. How did that happen? But everywhere we went, Ashton had a baby, and she always had to take the baby with her. She was two, and she said, we're going to take a walk in Fenton Park, and she would say, I got to take my baby. She would say, well, I need to feed my baby. And so she would get real food. She had a stroller sometimes. She would walk around. She's like, okay, we're walking the park in Fenton, and we're taking this stroller. And I'm like, oh, no, because I knew within 2 minutes, any dads know what I'm talking about? You're going to be holding the baby, holding the stroller, and holding her. She said, Dad, I got to feed my baby. She would get real yogurt and try to feed the baby. And she couldn't understand why the baby wouldn't eat. She didn't understand she was feeding a fake baby. Can I tell you something today? That you're feeding a fake baby every time that you think that the economy is going to destroy you, that God's not going to come through, that the world is coming to an end. You're feeding a fake baby. The baby is not alive. Somebody ought to shout amen. The baby's never going to eat, except it's going to eat you, because you're going to walk around carrying a fake baby in a stroller that doesn't really exist. The thing that matters is Jesus. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Somebody realizes this. It's fake. It's fake. It's fake. But you know what's real? Faith. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah. I wish I could convince you that the thing you're feeding is fake. The worries that you're worried about is fake.
That's good.
And the enemy has some kind of little record playing in your head. I don't know what it is for you, but for me, it plays in there. And I have to renew my mind.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think about my father who's in heaven today. I always know he's been gone 20 years because when he went away, my dearest friend, God gave me that little girl that you saw on the screen a minute ago. I was able to pour my love into her a lot. But when I think about my dad in heaven, sometimes I think about he's 56 and I'll be 55 in September of next year. September the 9th, write that down. You clearly forgot this year. And the enemy will say, well, you know, your grandpa died early and your dad died early and your grandma died early and your aunt died early. And, you know, it runs in your family. You know, ugly might run in your family. It might be hereditary. But the fact is, Jesus forked when he hung on the tree forked 2,000 years ago, and he said, with long life, he will satisfy you and show you salvation. Hashtag blessed. But you have to understand, you have to shut down the inner dialogue that's in your mind.
Yeah.
There's a dialogue in there, and that's why it's so important to go to Growth Track and get in a group. Because I always say this, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You will be next year what you hang around. If you don't like the way you turned out, well, first of all, you didn't turn out yet. Like the little Polaroid. Anybody ever taken a picture of Polaroid? Remember these pictures? And you'd have to wait till they. Now you got, you know, you take 27 pictures with your phone and you're able to delete them. But you remember this? Or you'd have to wait and go, oh man, that picture's horrible. I look like I'm slobbering on myself. Your life hasn't turned out yet. But you got to shut down that negative voice that says you're not going to make it and it's never going to happen, because if God is fighting for you and the enemy's fighting against you, the way you fight really makes a difference. So we've got to say no to the fear. Everybody shout, say no to the fear. So this week we're talking about blessing, and I want to go to this incredible passage in 1 Kings chapter 17. This is Elijah, the Tishbite, a temporary resident, came to Israel. He stood there and he prophesied and he said, there shall be no dew nor rain for these 3 years according to my word. Notice when a prophet says something, God backs it. And then the word of the Lord came into him saying, go from here and turn east and hide yourself in a brook called Cherith. Notice that there's going to be a famine in the world, a financial setback, a recession, high gas prices, inflation, high interest rates. And he said, hey, but the word of the Lord came and he said, hey, I want you to turn from here and go to a brook. The Holy Spirit will always lead you where to go. Each and every day, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you and he wants to talk to you. In fact, he's the one that has told you stuff like this, slow down. Have you ever heard that? Slow down. Have you ever heard, go back and tell him you're sorry? Have you ever heard here, hey, you're not being very nice, you're short, just made you meaner, but at the same time as the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He's never speaking to you like, you're no good. He's always saying, hey, whoa. I want participation in every campus. Raise your hand if you've heard similar things like this. This isn't the devil telling you to go back and be nice. This is the enemy telling you you're drinking too much, or you're out of control, or you're angry, or you need therapy, or you need to go to church. This isn't the devil. This is the Holy Spirit, because he's leading you at all times, especially in difficult situations. Verse 2, it says, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, go here, turn east, hide yourself in the brook called Cherith. Then it says, verse 4, you shall drink from the brook, and I, God, have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Two things I want you to see here. Number one, commanded. Everybody shout, commanded blessing. Commanded blessing. God commanded these ravens, these dirty birds. That's what ravens are if you study them. They're dirty birds. He said, I've commanded the dirty birds to provide for you. He's there in a recession, a drought, and God says, I've commanded the ravens to go bless you and do according to the word of the Lord. And every day, verse 6, it says, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So it goes like this. Elijah now is in this recession and famine, and these birds every day would go up to the king's palace. He goes out on his terrace, the king is. His servants bring them, hey, here's your roll. Here's your biscuit. And he would turn around to get something, and then the bird would fly in, swoop in, grab the biscuit, fly it down to the brook where Elijah was, and Elijah's like, hallelujah, look what God's done. The king is like, did I not just have a bagel here? What happened? And every time he turns around, this dirty bird is coming and is grabbing it and is taking it to God's person at the specific place in which God has led them. I'm here to tell you that God's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And he's going to use dirty birds. The Bible said the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. By the way, I want to tell you something. I've never been more impressed with God than I am today. He does the most ridiculous things. I mean, when I think about there in West Palm and some of our television bills, and I mean, here at Earth City, I think they did like $250,000 worth of new AC units that just needed to be done. At this campus, just one of the AC units is the size of a tractor trailer, and it's $260,000, and it needed a new one. Football fields were the parking lot. I don't know how we do it, but I go to bed at night trusting God. And then all of a sudden, these dirty birds, these black birds, come to our church. Take one guy in Florida. I'll forego his name, but he is an icon. And he owns a lot of casinos. And he would be considered a dirty bird, according to the Wall Street Journal and according to Forbes magazine. And all of a sudden, he starts watching television in the middle of the night in Palm Beach. And he starts watching me. And then he starts going to school at high school. And then Sunday after Sunday, he starts coming. And then he gets born again. He receives Jesus. He owns all the polo fields. And guess what? You talk about a dirty bird. You're like, well, Pastor David, I wouldn't receive that money that comes from a casino. We pray over that money. Clean it up and use it to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, he sold a lot of those things. And the more he gets around church people and God, the cleaner Glenn gets. I don't clean fish. I catch them. I don't know what you're doing. I don't want to know about your internet history. I don't want to know about all the pain in your past. All I want to know is God looks at you and he's proud of you and he loves you. And the more that you come to church, the more that you realize that God blesses you, the more that you realize he's going to take care of you. Somebody ought to give God praise today. You're going to be surprised when you get to heaven how much God loves you. You don't love you because dad said bad things about you. Mom said you're just like your dad. And your coach said you're just no good. But I'm telling you what, all of that really dissipates when you see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in all of his glory. And he says, come here. I love you. If you were the only person in the world, I would have died for you. Listen, there's something about a father's love. My daughter, last night, we went to a birthday party for a powerful person here in St. Louis, and they had it at this museum, and they shut the museum down, and we're walking around this museum in St. Louis, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing, and there's beautiful people everywhere, and it's so incredible, and every third person that came up went to Faith Church. And Ashton's walking with me, and she said, "Dad, did you ever think that all these people would go to our church?" I said, "No." She said, "Dad, did you ever think that when I was little, you and I would be best friends?" I said, "Yeah." When I looked at her, and her little arm has a tattoo that said DC for David Crank times two, which really made her mother angry. All this did was open up my checkbook and open up my credit card. That she doesn't need, like, "Hey, we're going to scan my Cash App." All she has to do is show that, and Dad says, "Where do I sign?" Let me tell you that God loves you so much, and he wants you to get out of this system, and he wants you to think differently, because if you're thinking that you're feeding a fake baby today, convincing you of this is my job today, you're feeding something that's fake. You're going to live and not die. God's going to take care of you. You've got a tattoo on Jesus. It's in his arms. Come on, somebody. It's in his feet. It's on his head. May I shout it today? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I got to scream it. He is madly in love with you. Stop beating yourself up. You're not too short. You're not too tall. You're not too fat. You're not too skinny. You're just right. Give him praise in the house of the Lord today. Stop feeding that fake baby. Look at your neighbor and say, "Stop feeding that fake baby." Verse 5, it says, "So he did according to the word of the Lord," Weldon, "and he went and he dwelt in the brook of Cherub, east of Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening." This is a twice-a-day train, people. It's quicker than Uber Eats. Verse 7, "After a while, though, the brook dried up." Everybody shout, "Uh-oh." Uh-oh. God saw it. He knew it was going to happen. The brook dried up, and there was no rain in the land. The brook dried up. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. Just because God has always did your recipe this way, just because he always baked your cake through Monsanto General Electric, just because you were always the PE teacher, just because you always was your dental hygienist, doesn't mean that it's always going to be that way. Sometimes things change. Everything changes. In fact, as you get older, I'm telling you, everything changes. What was up here goes down here. Somebody ought to shout amen. It's called the Chester drawer disease. Your chest goes in your drawers. Last night, Friday night at the party, there was all these supermodels from all over, and everybody weighed about 90 pounds wet. I looked at Ashton, and we're a little thicker. And I said, "Ashton, you know what?" She said, "What, Dad?" I said, "They don't have to spend a lot of money on catering at these events. Because there's a bowl in the back full of Tic Tacs." What do you call it? Tic Tacs? Yeah. Little Tic Tacs. These girls can't eat more than a Tic Tac. I actually talked to a couple of them last night. They go to the church, and they said, "We do. We eat a lot." And I'm like, "Where does it go?" But I'm here to tell you today that God's not surprised about what you did. He's not freaked out about the economy. God's not going, "What are we going to do now? We didn't see Y2K coming." Remember this? We didn't see the swine flu, the Hong Kong flu. Remember all these things? We didn't see COVID, or some people call it COVID. All these things are sent to distract you, to get you feeding on something that's fake. God in heaven, the one who brought up the sun, by the way, where you're sleeping today, it came up. And the moon, I don't know if you saw the moon last night in St. Louis, but it was unbelievable. The moon looked like it was lit, but it really wasn't lit. It was simply a reflection of the sun. And it was reflecting this crescent moon that was unbelievable. I Instagrammed about it. If you don't follow me on Instagram, shame on you. You're going to miss the best part of your life. I've already been to Snooks today and bought $100 worth of Halo Top. Can I get an amen? And if you'd have watched me on Instagram, you'd have known that. I'm here to tell you that it's just a reflection. So what you're doing is you're reflecting on the wrong thing. You need to reflect on the right thing, that Jesus is coming. He is your king, and he's not going to leave you abandoned. This is going to be the best year of your life. When I promise you, it's going to be an open door in 2020. 24, and you're going to see things like you've never seen before, and you will not be ignoring what God is doing. I'm here to tell you, you ought to grab a hold of that and say, you know what? God is for me, and I'm going to quit feeding this fake baby, and just because this dried up doesn't mean that dried up. I just thought of this story, and I'm 5 minutes and 35 seconds into leaving and going to Earth City. I'm going to preach there, and then I'm going to come back here and preach. I'm going to go to Earth City and preach, and I'm going to do a lot of preaching today. And I remember when I started the church in Earth City, there was a few guys, and there was a couple money guys. Okay, there's the money dudes that thought that we shouldn't go to Earth City. We're in Fenton on 1416 Larkin Williams Road. And they weren't my source, and that's what they didn't realize. Those guys thought that. I thought they paid the bills. And I loved those guys. They were a blessing. But I remember talking to these two guys, and both of them came to me at the same time and said, you're not going to take our money up to Earth City and build a church that we'll never go to. We need to fix up our church here. And I said, whoa. This isn't your money. This is God's money. If you thought you were giving to me, you were wrong. I already got my job. I'm already retired. I was 34 and was at the right place at the right time. I was done. And they said, we're just going to leave the church. I said, well, man, I hate to see you go. But bye. And they left. And I went to Earth City. But I still remember thinking the brook dried up. I'm talking about the scriptures still. The brook dried up, and I was thinking in my mind, what were you doing? These were some of the two of the biggest givers of the church, and they just left. And I thought, no. They left me, but he did not leave me, and he will not forsake me. And now Earth City is the biggest African-American church in St. Louis. Are you hearing me right now? And God's taken care of me, and he supported me. So don't get attached to a person. As soon as you think the job is your source, all you're going to do is upset God. He's going to think, oh, you think they're your guy? My wife does that. It's tough, by the way, if you have little kids, listen to me. I have a friend, Mike LaCarico. He owns a bunch of Taco Bells, and Mike told me his daughter was about 4 years older than mine. He said, let me tell you how this goes. When she's 6, this is going to happen. When she's 13, this is going to happen. By 13 or 14, your wife's going to start getting jealous of your daughter. There's going to be this competition about makeup, hairbrushes, and all kinds of stuff. Your clothes, my clothes. God forbid they have the same shoe size. By the way, mine does. And last week I had Nicole. She was acting a little up. She wasn't right. You know you're jacked up when you're at the house and you get a text from your wife and you're in the house with your wife. All caps, I'm going to bed. If you don't know what I'm talking about right now, just listen to me. I said, ooh, she's going to bed. She's leaving town tomorrow. She's mad. We got to fix this. And I was downstairs with Ashton, of course, helping her. We're moving and helping her load her stuff in, helping her with her closet, which might be bigger than her mom's, only because the basement had more square footage. I ran upstairs because I knew she's upset. And I went upstairs and said, hey, what's going on? She's like, I'm just upset with you. I said, why? She said, you love her more than me. You're downstairs with her. I'm getting ready to leave town. You know I'm down. I'm getting ready to leave town. And I'm just going to bed. I said, wait, hang on. What's going on? And after I drilled down and talked to her and said, hey, I don't love her more than you. I love you. I love her. Ashton's texting me, where'd you go? You're supposed to help me with these boxes. Oh, God, help me. Come on, guys. If you have a daughter, you say amen to this right now. It is tough. After talking to her and calming her down, the next morning she woke up and she said, so sorry I was petty last night. I got jealous of my own daughter. I just wanted you by myself, and I just love you. Joe, you got 19 daughters. I need to talk to you about this. Then when she took off in the airplane, she texted me again and said, did I mention that I was sorry about last night? Did I mention I was petty? See, I'm here to tell you that sometimes even our behavior, when things go away from us, or we see like a loss, or we see somebody paying more attention, or I may say, hey, Pastor Katrina, you're unbelievable. And then Pastor Micah goes, what about me? And Pastor Ree goes, what about me? And Pastor Byron goes, what about me? And Pastor Phil says, I've been here longer than everyone. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about right now. All you have to really remember is everybody's human and everybody has needs. And if you'll try to help people fulfill the love, the hole in their soul, and let them know that everybody, you're so important to me, and affirm them and love them, you'll be more like God than ever before, because God in heaven is looking at you and said, I loved you so much, I sent Jesus for you. I'm going to help you load your closet. I'm going to help you fill the gaps in your life. I'm going to help you marry the right person. I'm going to help you, oh yeah, this job left, or this person left your church. Do you know that recently, in fact, just the other day, at our, I don't know if you know this, but our capital campaign, we had like $386,000 left on it. You guys had crushed it. It was supposed to be a 2-year campaign. And you did it. And then a couple of our kingdom builders called and said, Pastor David, we just want to be done with it. And they just paid it. Remember when those two guys left me? Then two other people called and said, hey, for the next campaign, the Open Door 24, we'll match every dollar up to $3 million. So everybody that gives $1,000, it's like they're giving $2,000. If they give $10,000, it's like $20,000. Somebody ought to shout amen this. Just because this brook dried up doesn't mean that brook dried up. Just whatever you do, follow Jesus. I'm going to shout his name again. Follow Jesus. He is not a way. He's the way. You lost that job. You lost that mate. You're feeling insecure. One of the greatest things you can do is talk to God about that. Get in a small group. Get water baptized. Get in church. After a while, verse 7, I got to hurry. My gosh, I'm all over the place. We spent too much time in the basement with my family drama. After a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And after that, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which is by Zidon, and dwell there. I have commanded, there's that word again we discovered earlier. I have commanded a widow. Everybody shout it. Why? Commanded a widow. I've commanded a widow to provide for you. I'm sure he's going, a widow? What about a billionaire? Why a widow? This widow woman was putting together some sticks, trying to start a fire. She had just a little bit of meal left and a little bit of oil. She said, I'm getting ready to prepare this and die. I mean, y'all know she needs some optimism in her life. She said, I'm going to make this meal and prepare it and die. And then Elijah, the man of God, came into his life. You need a pastor. You need a man of God to speak optimistic, faith-filled words into your life. And he said, hey, before you make that meal and go die, this is the stereotypical preacher. Make one for me first. Notice God always wants to be first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, ings, housing, bling, bling, cha-ching, cha-ching, all these ings will be added unto you. She makes him the first cake, representing God. And all of a sudden, the resources started flowing. And that she ate for years and years and years. She didn't die that day. She didn't die the next day. She ate for years and years and years, and she provided for other people. Elijah was looking for someone to help him. God sent a woman who didn't have anything because he wanted to help her. Because the seed that leaves your hand never leaves your life. You can't outgive God. So when you give God your life, you give God your talent, you give God your money. First of all, it's not your money, it's God's money. Without breath and breeches, you wouldn't be here. And so he's the one that breathed this pneuma. We get the word pneumonia from it. This breath into you so you can be alive today. And he's counting on you. He's counting on you in 24 to be optimistic, to build some churches, to change some lives, to reach some Jerry's digging out of a trash can, to help people in prison, we do, to help the orphans, and we do. We don't just give to this church, you give through this church. And every week when you bring the first, not the last, the first, first man of God said, Elijah, first sow your seed. First bless God. First. Here's the deal with God. You know how I told you that my wife gets jealous because of my daughter? God gets jealous when you have any other gods before him. Yeah. So if you thought it was the job and he's the one that gave you the job, it hurts his feelings. If you think it's Donald Trump, I've met all these guys. I've been to dinner with all these guys. I got my fingers and my hand broke because I was praying with Nancy Pelosi, a radical Democrat, and a radical right winger broke my hand. I was like, my gosh, do you not believe in the power of prayer? If anybody needed prayer, it was Nancy Pelosi. And now I need Benny Hinn. Come on, somebody ought to help me because you broke my hand. I'm here to tell you, if you look to anything besides Jesus for your affirmation, for your love, for your fulfillment, you're going to have a hole in your soul. And when I walk the streets of St. Louis and Palm Beach, all I do is look around and I see already people everywhere. I see people smiling, but a lot of times behind the smile, behind the $10,000 bag, behind the $100 million yacht, something missing. You can be in a canoe in the Black River of Missouri, or be in France with a helicopter landing on a yacht. And if you have a hole in your soul, it can never be filled by anybody but Jesus. And our job, church, is to reach everybody online, around the world. People drive in and fly in from all over this weekend. We have people from Virginia, Texas, drive in, fly in to get baptized because this church is their church online, and they wanted to be immersed in water in what they call the Holy Land. Many of them went to Florida today because it's warmer, God willing, and the creek don't rise. It'll get warmer here eventually. Come on, somebody ought to help me. But I'm here to tell you that we're changing the world. And we're going to do it because God's going to bless us. We are blessed. Shout it with me. We are blessed. Stand with me. I want to pray this prayer over you. I'm 5 minutes and 37 seconds over. Please pray that God will blind the state patrol as we fly to Earth City right now. Will you pray with me? Sometimes we do get pulled over and my mic's on and they'll go, oh my gosh, Pastor David, I'm sorry. And I'm like, the Lord's going to kill you if you don't let us go. And they always let us go. God, I pray right now for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that they receive the blessing from the blessor. The blessing certainly isn't a car. It isn't a house. The blessing of God is what that grandparent over there has, which is two beautiful twins. The blessing is what Joe and Lisa have, which is beautiful babies. The blessing, God, is what Scott and Jane have, which is their kids getting to be with their mom when she's diagnosed terminal illness that was going to kill her. God, we're so blessed. And God, if there's anything I know about all of us, we're sorry for being ungrateful. As we walk into Thanksgiving this weekend, we want to honor you with our time, our talent, our treasure. And what's in us, God, is to help people. God, I pray for people this weekend that don't have a family, that may be going into treacherous waters and they feel upset. Let them know that their church family is here for them, that they're loved and that they're embraced. God, help us to help more people than ever before in 24. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand as you're seated. We'll be out here in a minute. Check this out.